Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome to the first show of Synergy Connection. Although I've done radio shows in the past, I've never had to run all the controls too. So here's hoping that I can talk and walk, so to speak, at the same time. Today's show is on building healthy relationships. And I should explain the reason I've chosen to do the first month of shows on relationships. As we move into the fourth quarter of the year, our thoughts often turn to holidays, families, and loved ones. I always wanted the Currier and Ives picture for Thanksgiving and Christmas, but somehow this never ever happened. I made enormous efforts, but it always fell a little short. Understanding how our relationships work and our part in them is how changes can and do happen. Remembering we have a choice as to how we see situations, and being able to step back a little in order to find humor also helps. I think everyone that's listening would like to believe that their relationships are different from everyone else's, but the reality is that most relationships have the same ups and downs. The one fact that is true is that all relationships take effort. It's also true that there will be times when the people you love disappoint or hurt your feelings. Additionally, there will be moments when you may feel it simply isn't worth the effort and the time to continue. Today on this first show, I want to talk about 8 considerations in couple relationships. And do keep in mind that I've had several questions that were submitted in advance of the show. So when I get to that area, I'm going to hopefully be able to address their question. Okay, so let's get started. The very first consideration is that we're often attracted to our opposite. And unfortunately, eventually this may drive us crazy. What this means is that opposite personalities can magnetically pull at us, just like yin and yang, that particular principle. The yin in life is the dark swirl, and if you've seen the symbol, it's usually represented as a black and a white, kind of a conjoining symbol in the middle. And so that the yin is the dark swirl that has a little white circle in it. And it's associated with shadows and femininity. And the yang part of it is white. That light swirl is associated with brightness, passion, and youth. And all of us have a little bit of both within us. We simply have to find the balance. So as an example, if you are super organized, which I am, being with somebody who lives in the moment is attractive because it is the part of you that needs to be balanced or developed. However, you do have to be willing to appreciate the trait of flexibility and spontaneity. Often, what happens is that we simply want to make the other person more like we are, rather than learning to go with the flow. If the two people are willing to compromise and bend with what I call the winds of life, the relationship becomes richer and more rewarding on many different levels. Here, it's because both people have an opportunity to actually grow. So the first question kind of fits into this area. And it was regarding some vacation plans. So Tom from Naples asked what the best way to decide a vacation destination if one person loves the beach and water and the other person wants to go to the mountains. So my first thought, Tom, is where do you live? Where is the couple from? In your case, it's Naples, so you're right near the water. But for some couples, they might live in Kansas or Oklahoma or Missouri, and they're in the middle of the country. So if you live near the water, then you could do a staycation. You could pick a resort. A lot of people, especially if you're taking a summer vacation, here in Florida, they'll give you some really good deals. And you don't have the expense of airfare, and you don't have to drive very far to get to where you want to go. So, if both parties can kind of agree that maybe one year one of them gets to do what they want to do, and the next year the other one, so that you're taking turns and it's not always a matter of one person getting what they want. That could be one resolution. Another thing is actually going on separate vacations. And this isn't such a bad idea either, because maybe the one wants to go to a dude ranch, in the Rockies. I've been there before and it's absolutely phenomenal. You can do a lot of things that maybe the other person has no desire to do. And then you come back and you kind of share what your experiences are. Some people might want to go to Europe and take a cooking class in Italy. Maybe somebody else wants to go scuba diving down in the Keys. So, pick, if you can't agree, then pick the idea that maybe suits one person best. And if the other one wants to come, great. And if they want to go do their own thing, that's okay too. Couples, can make that kind of decision that they're going to do things separately and then enjoy each other's experiences through conversation. Okay, so the second consideration then is there is no such thing as your one and only. And I know a lot of people like to believe that there is, that it is your soulmate, that you're looking for. And I'm going to be talking about soulmates and twin flames, probably on the next show. But right now, understanding that the people that are in your life, you may be compatible with a number of different individuals throughout a lifetime. There are key individuals that you'll recognize. You may feel like you have known them somewhere before. And if you believe in past lives, maybe you did know them before. But compatibility is determined by interest and values, physical chemistry, your family of origin, learned beliefs, personality traits, habits, education, and religious backgrounds. It's determined by so many factors. So when a couple shares most of these areas, their relationship can flow with ease. However, when they only have a few areas in common, such as maybe the physical chemistry, maybe where they like to eat, then they're going to have a rocky road to navigate. And it's going to be necessary to truly be committed to one another and the process of the relationship. Developing it, communication skills are critical here. All right, so we're going to take the second question. And the second question is about finding the right person. Monica from St. Petersburg actually says, "Why do I always choose the wrong person?" So this is a question that a lot of people have, because it appears to be the perfect person in the beginning, and then the relationship becomes a nightmare. Making sure that your values and interests are compatible is important, as well as looking at such areas as the ability to communicate and looking at the family of origin similarities. If one part of the couple, grew up in a rural area and the other person maybe grew up in the city, they're going to have very different values, as they get to know one another. Sometimes you move away from that initial chemistry that you felt, and you can't figure out how to get that back together again because there are so many differing, the personality traits are so different. Ask yourself, can you talk comfortably with one another for long periods of time? If you can't, that's kind of a red flag. Ask yourself if your backgrounds are so different that you simply cannot relate to one another. And also I'll look at the strengths in each of you. Do you complement each other? Or are you going to butt heads because each of you wants to have it your way? So, you know, that will be another consideration down the road is, you know, can you negotiate together and agree to disagree? And can you compromise? Those are all extremely important as you're looking at your relationships. The third consideration is sharing property, pets, bank accounts, other joint commitments. It's interesting. They've done some studies on this, and they've actually found that it increases the odds of the couple staying together when they do have shared commitments. I don't know whether 10% is a tremendous increase, but that's one of the numbers they've come up with, is that there's a 10% chance of surviving a relationship with problems when there's multiple intersections in the partnership. So the primary reason, of course, would be that it's more difficult to disentangle yourself when there are other commitments that you've made together. Just a few decades ago, people joined forces to work the farms or raise a family, and there was usually just one person in the relationship who worked outside the home. But that is not true today. Life was much more difficult then, and it actually required more of a partnership in order to succeed. I recently heard a book that was discussed on NPR that might be a must-read for some of you. And the title is called Farsighted: How We Make Decisions That Matter Most. And it was by Steve Johnson. He gives three scenarios explains how to make our decisions in life. One of them is the best case scenario, and I'm sure everyone's heard of that. One is the worst case scenario, and we've all heard of that. But one is what's called the unexpected scenario, because sometimes things just happen that we truly did not expect. So after listening to the author talk about all the important decisions we make, such as relocating, you know, where to go to school, you know, not the little things like where should we eat out tonight. But I think he's right about the fact that we all need to take time to reach conclusions on what path is best for us to take. A lot of kids back in the 70s and 80s learned what was called a decision tree, and they learned it from their teachers in school. I guess this method isn't being taught today, but it doesn't mean that we can't be the ones teaching our children how to weigh the pros and cons of their decisions, because they're going to have to make a lot of decisions in a lifetime. So an example might be if a child is trying to decide whether to play a particular sport or whether to play a sport at all, or maybe what classes to take at high school, especially if they're bright and they want to start taking AP courses. They might also be looking at, you know, where to go to college. And there they can look at expenses, scholarship availability, or the location of the school. Our granddaughter, you know, decided to go to school fairly close to home rather than going across the country. And that was so she could still be connected with her family as well as go to a great school. So those are decisions that you can use a decision tree on, and you can look at, you know, what is the most important thing to you, and then what is the least important thing, and then kind of weigh all of the in-between stuff, like if there are expenses or there is something, you know, that could drastically alter your life if it happened, and then try to come up with your conclusion based on that. So question number three is going to fit in, I think, with this. And Joe from Tampa asks, how do you decide as a couple who pays which joint expenses, such as utility bills or groceries, when a couple is living together and both are enjoying the benefits of that expense? So what I'm going to say here is that money is always a tricky area, and it can lead to arguments. So here's where your core values are going to come into play. If both of you have a similar understanding of how money should be spent, sitting down with your budget should not be too difficult. You can decide here how money is going to be used, you know, within that budget. So how much do you want to allocate for groceries, you know, per week? How much do you want to allocate for eating out? Maybe you want to set a budget for both areas, and one person might buy the groceries and the other person might pick up the tab when you go out to eat, if those areas are comparable, you know, in expense. If you only go out to eat once a week and you don't go to an expensive restaurant, then it wouldn't be fair. But if you eat out a couple of times a week and the amounts on the grocery store side kind of equal out the expense on eating out, you know, then that might be a way to handle it. When you look at monthly household bills, such as Duke Energy or water or the internet, trash pickup, those kind of things, they're joint expenses. So if you are living together and not married, then they are shared expenses. So divide them up. And if your Duke Energy bill is a lot bigger, let's say, than the trash and the water, maybe, you know, you pick up more of the smaller bills. Again, so it more or less equals out. Dividing up the bills is an important part of this. Another expense, again, if you're just living together and you're not married yet, might be insurance, personal credit cards, cell phones, things like that. And that's going to belong to the individual because those are your personal bills. So they don't belong in the joint expenses. The key here is going to be to discuss these areas before you move in together. And that way there's a, what I call at least, a smooth transition between two separate households becoming one household. One of the parties doesn't need to feel like all of a sudden they've inherited all of the other person's, you know, bills. All right, the fourth consideration is poor timing. And poor timing can be a reason for couples to break up, even though they really and truly care about one another. And what I mean here is that men and women can be on different timelines. One half of the relationship may be on a career path, and it doesn't mesh with the other person's plans. An example here is if one person is needing to spend all of his or her time and energy moving up the corporate ladder, and the other person is going to feel very left out and ignored, especially if there isn't communication about this ahead of time. So in this particular case, there's other important timing decisions that you need to make, whether to start a family or if you even want children. Some couples, especially if they've got careers going for them, may decide that fur babies are sufficient and they really don't want to bring children into the world, maybe in particular because of the political climate that we have today and wondering what's going to happen with everyone's life. Where to live is another decision that can be really important. And here, you might have to relocate because of a career path. So one half of the couple may be building a career locally. And maybe as an example, if they were young attorneys, or they're starting with real estate, or they might be insurance agents or something. So they're building their particular community of referrals. The other one may be looking for opportunities that just suddenly appear, and it might mean that they have to relocate across the country. So in this case, you know, they have to be able to talk about those career paths and having flexibility within it. Sometimes it can even be a matter of whether both individuals are ready to commit to one another. If one member of the relationship isn't ready to be serious, the other person needs to look at it, acknowledge that fact, and move on and find somebody who is ready to make that commitment. All right, the fifth consideration is an area that I've often seen in private counseling, and that is that the sexual energy between couples can vary tremendously. So understanding what each of you wants and needs in this area is extremely important. Sex, unfortunately, can become a battleground. Being patient with one another and truly taking the time to be together is crucial. This isn't an area where you want to rush because of time constraints. So even if you can only be together occasionally due to children, work, and other obligations, it's extremely important to have whatever time you do have be relaxed and focused on one another. Take time for cuddling, talking, and laughing in the bedroom. Your love life is definitely going to improve on all areas if you can do that. What makes you happy? Do you know what makes you happy? And what makes your partner happy? Have you taken the time to discuss this area of your life? Because if you haven't, you need to do so. The sixth consideration is listening to one another, and that's a skill that is needed to overcome any obstacle. What if the person that you're happy with today doesn't make you happy in a few years? What if there is no happily ever after in your story? Here we go back to commitment. Can you encounter the tough and scary moments in a relationship and work through them? Have you learned the art of listening to one another? Really listening to each other means that you're listening with your heart and not just your ears. Most of us, unfortunately, listen in order to respond rather than to hear what is really being said. Do you know how to listen? One of the things that I have available for anybody who wants it, if they go to my website at synergyconnectionradio.com, I can send you a PDF. And it's on a little brochure that was written called Stop, Look, and Listen. And some of the points on this are understanding how to actually listen better. One of those points is finding a quiet place to talk, which means turning off the television and turning off your cell phone. Also, facing one another and trying to have eye contact. Another area is learning the art of paraphrasing. So when you hear somebody talking, you're truly listening to them in order to paraphrase back. You know, I think what I heard you say is that type of thing. Another area that can be learned is asking questions that are who, what, when, where, and how questions. I have always told couples, or just people in general, don't ever ask why, because why immediately produces defensiveness. We're trying to figure out how to respond to that why when it's directed to us. So even with a child, if a parent says, why did you do that? You know, the child is coming up with the excuse. Whereas if you were to ask, when did you decide that was a good idea? It's much more open-ended, and the child can come up and respond with an actual answer rather than a defensive posture. Having relaxed body language is another very important area here, because 85% of how we communicate with people is done with body posturing. So if we have our hands folded or our arms folded, you know, in front of us, that's a defensive measure. That's saying, you know, here, I'm putting up a wall between you and I. So watch that kind of thing. If anyone wants to have that PDF, just go to synergyconnectionradio.com and fill in the contact us box, and I'd be happy to send it to you. Now I'm going to use a question from Lenny in Sarasota for that last area. And he says, what do you do when one of the partners in a relationship has been unfaithful? How do you repair and keep the relationship alive? Can it be rebuilt? And Lenny, this is a really tough question to answer, because it depends on several different things. The amount of time that the couple has been together is one factor. When you've invested a number of years with all of the accumulated memories, maybe children, property, that kind of thing, it may be worth getting couple counseling before throwing in the towel. And if the affair was just a way to get unmet needs taken care of, such as emotional and physical needs, then maybe using that what, when, where, who, how type of questioning could get to the bottom of it, and it could help both parties understand why the relationship broke down. However, if there is no longer any love between the parties, then being honest is the best way to go. Parting as friends may be the best option for both of you, since you have a history together and there's no reason to destroy the past because you grew apart. All right, the sixth consideration. Whoops, that's the one we just covered, so I don't want to go back and look at that. The seventh consideration is the differing values that we have with one another, and that can create major, major hurdles. So values are different than interest, and some people love sports, others love to stay home with a great book, and that's called an interest. So that's not a bad thing to have differing hobbies or activities. However, if you have a different perspective on life, such as saving money versus spending money, things could get pretty difficult. And this is one of those areas where family of origin values can come into play. Additionally, along that same vein, where you spend your money can become a point of contention. If he wants to buy sporting gear such as hunting and fishing equipment, and she wants to redecorate the house, well, then you can have a huge battle, and that can result in hurt feelings and misunderstandings. So having separate savings account where money for these interests can be accumulated then allows for both parties to reach their goals. Other areas to discuss together before living together or before marriage are things like home responsibilities, grocery shopping, cleaning, laundry, bills, all the things that we do to run a household. Be sure to also add expenses for extracurricular activities that each of you might have, and that date night that you should have at least once a week. Having all those discussions prior to cohabitating can make a huge difference in whether the relationship will work. And then the eighth consideration is people that have unrealistic expectations about the relationship. A conclusion that is often reached by many professional counselors is that one or both of the parties may have unreasonably high expectations for romance, communication, availability, personal space, or other areas where needs are not being met. Once again, communication and truly listening to the other person is key. Trust and communication have always formed the cornerstones. So if you think of relationships as a triangle, which is the strongest shape in architecture, if one corner is absent, then the relationship doesn't work. They require balancing, and with that we need to look at the needs and the hopes and the desires of both parties. With effort, with faith in one another, and a willingness to compromise, success is not only possible, but highly probable. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please leave any messages on my website and be sure to check out the various services that are offered. Tell them Lucy sent you when contacting them. And finally, remember that each and every day, you should focus on living your best life and making it a great one. Thank you so much for visiting Synergy Connection Radio.